Good evening. We appreciate very much your joining us this evening for the services at the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. The service this evening is going to be a little bit different in that the elders of the church are going to conduct the meeting, and we pray that we will all be blessed as a result of our efforts this evening. I'd like to begin the service with a scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, we must give more heed, more earnest heed, to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received its just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed in us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subject to the angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Those are comforting words to us from God. Now let's pray. Father God in heaven, we praise you, we worship you, we love you, Father, and we thank you for all your blessings. Father, first thing we want to do is to ask you for forgiveness for our trespasses and our negligence and sins, anything that's standing in the way of our relationship with you, Father. We pray for forgiveness. And we thank you for being a forgiving God. Let us stand before you as clean and pure and forgiven. Father, we now pray for our nation and the problems that we're having, not only with many things, economy and virus and so forth, but we do pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our government. We pray for our president, Father. Please bless us and please help us, we pray. Father, we are having a lot of problems throughout the world with the virus and the COVID-19. And we pray, Father, that that will be brought under control within as soon as possible. We pray that we can return to normal at some time in the near future. Father, we pray for the church and pray that the church will be blessed through this, and thank you for bringing us through this far, and we pray that you will see us the rest of the way through the virus, and we know that you will through our faith. And Father, we do pray for the church, our sustenance, our encouragement, and our training, and our teaching, and our hearing of God comes through the church. And we pray for churches everywhere that are teaching the truth. Please bless the church, Father. Father, we have several that are in poor health or having health problems, and some very serious. And we pray for all those that are having health problems, those that are sick, and those that are confined to beds or confined to the hospital. We ask your blessings upon them. And if it's not against your will, Father, we pray that they all might be restored to health. Father, we pray for everyone in that condition. Ask your blessings upon them. Father, we now pray for our military and police and all the people that protect us and sustain us and keep us day by day. Ask your rich blessings upon everyone in that field of work and pray that you will give them safety and bring them through. Father, we pray for all the health workers that around the world, and all the scientists and the drug companies, everyone that's working hard to bring the virus to a control and to eliminate it. And we pray that that will happen sooner rather than later. And Father, we pray your blessings upon all those people that are working to that effect. Father, we have so many things to pray for, so many things to thank you for, and we do thank you for all your blessings, and pray that you will continue to bless us, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I have a song and a Bible reading. The song will be With Me, Lord. Seems like a good thing to be asking. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 15, since it's fairly short, I'll read it twice. He begins in Psalm 15, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Again, the question is, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? The answer is, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue nor does evil to his neighbor. nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put his money at interest, nor and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved.
I'm going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. This passage, of course, is about Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, the Word, the Light, the pre-existent one, eternal, the one who put on a body of flesh and dwelt among us, the one full of grace and truth. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received in grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Let's join in prayer. Lord, our great God, we thank you for giving us life, for loving us, for blessing us beyond measure. We thank you for allowing us to seek you out and to find you, both in nature and in the scriptures. We thank you for sending your Son to us to teach us, to show us the way to you, for giving us salvation from sins, We thank you for being with us through these difficult times, Lord. We ask that you keep us unified, faithful, and committed to your cause. Be with us, Father, day by day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll sing a couple of hymns. The first is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Our next hymn is We Will Glorify. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Holy Father, we come to you this evening with so many things on our hearts. Father, we live in a time of great pain and great anxiety and great confusion. And Father, we are in a situation where we don't know what tomorrow will look like. We don't know what 6 months down the road will look like. We don't know what the next few years will look like. Father, we are grateful that the virus numbers have decreased in our area recently. And Father, we ask you to intervene so that this may continue, that the loss of life will eventually end over this virus, and that we can have a renewed sense of safety that has not existed for so many for so long. And Father, we know that those who have lost loved ones are going to continue to feel this loss for quite some time. We ask your care to be with them and to give them comfort. And for all of us, Father, we ask you to help us to primarily make sense of this world by realizing there really is nothing new under the sun, but that you are our constant. Things may change around us. Governments may change. Policies may change. Leaders may change. But you, dear Lord, are forever. And so may we find our ultimate hope in you. But Father, I pray for every leader of every nation and for every official of every nation and every state and every municipality. I pray for every citizen of the world, dear Lord, that all hearts will be open to you and that in the ultimate outcome, the best way to solve life's problems are to love you and to live as you have taught us how to live. This seems to be foolishness to so many people. There are so many people, it seems like more and more, who do not acknowledge you, and if they do, they don't seem to love you. And Father, that's where we pray for the most change. And we just pray that hearts will be open to your message, that the resurrection will not continue to be denied, but it will be believed and embraced, and that people will allow your Son Jesus to forgive them and to change their lives and live lives that glorify you. Our world needs you desperately, dear Lord. And Father, there are so many in our number that have been mentioned earlier today, and we pray for them and we ask for your guidance as to how we can be your instruments in ministering to them. And so, Father, we trust you. We trust you to lead us and guide us. We trust you to continue providing your grace and mercy to us. And we trust you, Father, to ultimately bring us home with you in heaven. Thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Let us be comforted with the words the Savior provided to those who were present when he discussed the attitudes we call the Beatitudes. Let us reflect on the past week and see which one of these categories, based on our behaviors and attitudes, that we could find ourselves in. Let's use this as a template for this coming week to see if we could find a place where we might exemplify these attitudes that our Savior thought so important to mention and to see that they were preserved in his scripture, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sakes. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Beginning of verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we see these attitudes that we are to possess, that we are to equip ourselves with, and that we are to enter into this week, dear God, finding opportunities to exemplify these behaviors and these attitudes that are present in your word. These are doubtful times, dear God, where faith is challenged. Faith in government, faith in medicine, faith in the church, faith in each other. We know, dear God, that through some of these temptations, great strength can be gained if we will persevere. We know, dear God, that you are there and that you are steadfast and that you are holy and that you will bless those that truly seek you. Help us to remember, dear God, that it is during times like this that we can amass the faith that our studying and our preparation before these tragedies begin, dear God, have prepared us for. Help us to not bankrupt our faith, dear God. Help us to remember that to have faith in you, in our Savior, in the church government, in the home, in the family, these institutions, dear God, that you have ordained and will bless should it follow your structure and follow your order. We pray, dear God, for these who have lost loved ones, these that are hurting now so, because of disease, because of ailments, dear God. We pray, dear God, that they would be comforted, and we pray that we would not forget our responsibilities of outreach to these. Now, dear God, we ask your blessings upon those who have children, those, dear God, especially our new parents in the church. We pray for our new parents, dear God, because they know, and we're faithful in them that they will bring their children up in the admonition and nurture, dear God, that you require, and that they would know your will, and that they would become older, they would not depart from it. We pray, dear God, for our families. We pray, dear God, also for your missionaries. We pray, dear God, that we not neglect them in our prayers. Be with them as we know some are serving in very hard places, dear God, and help us be good stewards of opportunity that may present itself this way so that we may help them with the burden that often comes with their work. We lift up our ministers here at this place, dear God. We're grateful for them, for their efforts, their talents, dear God, and their dedication to your work, and how they seem to be so tireless, and how they constantly strive for opportunity to improve what it is that your church is to be doing here. We pray, dear God, for the ministers' families. We know oftentimes, dear God, that the work may take them away and that they may be gone away from families during time, leaving responsibility. We pray, dear God, for these families. Bless these that support these ministers, dear God, so well in their service to you, dear God. Bless them because we know they are a blessing to our ministers. Pray, dear God, that you'd be with us throughout the remaining time of this worship. Prepare us for the challenges that we may face this next week. Help us to go forward in your will and in your way. That's always in our best interest. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
If you are unable to share the Lord's Supper with us this morning, this time is made available to you. And we will sing two verses of Alas and Did My Savior Bleed and then allow time for you to partake of the Lord's Supper.
In preparation for taking the Lord's Supper, I'd like to share with you some thoughts that come from a book that I've read portions of. It's entitled Man's Worship to God. It's written by Tom Holland, the late Tom Holland. Let's be reminded that worship is not a performance, but it's done by participation, and that God, not man, is the audience of true worship. Lord's Supper, as you know, is part of our worship each Lord's Day. Brother Holland had several pages in this particular book devoted to Lord's Supper, as it did for other aspects of worship. And I'd like to sort of share just a little bit of what he had to say. It says, "When I partake of the bread of the communion, I break the bread, hold it in my hand, look at it, and then remember this is my Lord's body. And it reminds me that I am now a part of his body, the church." Ephesians 1:22 and verses 23 mention this. "So I want to honor the Lord's body. I dare not disgrace it. The reality of his body is as real as this bread in the communion. I resolve anew to function as a part of Christ's body. Then I take the cup and I hold the container of the cup, look upon the contents of the container, and I see the Lord's blood shed for me." Brother Holland continues to talk more about this, but I'll close at that point and we'll have prayer. Bow with me. Father, we're indeed grateful that each Lord's Day we have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. Thankful, Father, for the simplicity of the items that are emblems that are part of this service. We're thankful, Father, for the bread which represents Jesus' body. Help us to be mindful of what Jesus did in our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray again. Father, we're indeed grateful for Jesus coming to this earth and living a sinless life, dying on the cross as he did, suffering a very horrible death. Father, for those that are partaking the Lord's Supper at this time, help them to be mindful of the blood that was shed on that occasion by Jesus. We think about the crown on his head of thorns, the piercing of his wrist and legs, the spear stuck at his side. Help us to be mindful of this and remember it every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. It's certainly over with. We would want to be mindful of contributions that are given. I realize many in the congregation here give in a variety of ways, and I think they know about this. But I'd like to sort of mention here just a moment. I've been helping teach some in Africa, and I send them World Bible School lessons. The congregation here provides the funds for these things. And these lessons are sent out by me to World Bible School and certainly get to their destinations. And grateful again that World Bible School provides the mailing cost to send these things to Zambia and Kenya especially, Malawi also. And the men that I work with there then go out and teach. And it's good to get reports back from them of their success in preaching the gospel and reaching others to Christ. And it's certainly gratifying then to see and get pictures of people that have recently been baptized. And just wanted to share that with you. Let's bow again. Thank you again, Father, that we have an opportunity to give back of what you have provided us. We're thankful, Father, for the talents and abilities that exist within our congregation, and perhaps the congregation where you're worshiping. Help us to use these talents and abilities, and certainly help us to give our means where we can to further work of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we have our closing prayer, I want us to look at a couple of verses that close the end of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians as the thought for all of us for this week. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let's again go to the Father in prayer. Our Father, our God, we're thankful to you for this time that we've had in meditating on your word, in approaching you in prayer. We need to be not only at these times in which people are in crisis, times of change, times of turmoil, but each day to be in prayer to you, to always be communicating with you so that we might feel your presence each moment of each day of our lives until we have finished our race here and are able to be with you for all eternity. Let the blood of Christ continually cleanse us throughout this week. We pray that we will be mindful of our job that you have given us to spread the gospel to the world, to change the hearts of people through your message and bring more and more into your eternal kingdom, your church. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are dismissed.